Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. This program is on the air live right now. Why are we here? To talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. Call now. Let's talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Do so at 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free wherever you hear this broadcast. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Well, Bob and Richard, good to be back with you on a Tuesday.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And we have been talking about freedom this month. Yesterday, we talked about a very important freedom that we can experience through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's freedom from our fear of death. The writer of Hebrews put it this way, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Now, that's a bondage that we all experience. Mm-hmm. We're scared to death to die because we know on the other side there's judgment. Judgment for our sins, punishment for our sins, and we don't want to go there. That's why we hang on to this life with every ounce of strength we can possibly muster. But we don't have to. Why? Because Jesus Christ has broken the power of death through his resurrected life. His death, he broke the power of the devil himself, who had power over death. So all of that has been taken care of. And when we rest in Jesus Christ, when we trust Jesus Christ, we can experience freedom from that fear of death. And I think that is the most wonderful thing. I know, you know, all of us in life have family members that may be aging, and they're coming to the end of their lives, and they're wondering what that's going to be like. And those who have this gospel message, this hope that we have in Christ, you can see they're facing that in a totally different way. They can actually stare death down with a sense of peace and joy in their hearts because they know that's not the end. They know that their sins have already been judged once and for all. They know that when they die, they're simply going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Yeah. If you want to experience freedom from the fear of death, it's going to come through trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And that's what you hear each day on Basic Gospel. We're glad you're with us today, friends. We'd love to for you to join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377. So if you'd like to talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life, why, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Phoenix, Arizona, and talk with Phil, listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Bob. How you doing? I'm always inspired by hearing both of you, and the whole crew there is really inspirational. I really love your program.
Well, thanks, Phil. Thanks for those kind words.
I wish it was more than 30 minutes. but anyway, the reason why I was calling is I have a coworker that he knows I'm a Christian and all that, but he says, well, I don't need God because I could keep every ten command. I could keep the Ten Commandments, and he says I never broke one in my life. And he says that I never committed adultery. I never cheated on my wife, or I never lied or stole. And then, you know, he just says, well, I said, well, you're not equal to God. I said, you're not perfect like God. And then I gave him those. A track on the four spiritual laws. You know, you ever heard of Camp's Crusade of Christ?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
This track is really effective, but the thing is, he read it and he says, well, this is a fairy tale, that we're not separated from God, we're equal to God. And then I got really frustrated about it, and I really feel like I was really discouraged about it. You know, that this, you know, I know God has to do the work on some of my coworkers there, and they have this thing in their mind that they know, they're like all knowing there, where they think they know more than God does.
Well, and, to somebody like that, I think that's why John wrote his first letter. There were a lot of people that like that back in his day, And that's why he wrote the things that he did in that first letter to the churches back then. And it's very interesting. If we claim to be without sin, that's certainly what your friend is doing. He's claiming to be without sin. It says those who do deceive themselves, and the truth is not in them. And then he says this: if we claim we have not sinned, which your friend is doing, we make God out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. That is the case for your friend. What's the remedy? The remedy to that is to confess your sins, and knowing you can do so because God is faithful and just to forgive us sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. There's nobody in their right mind that can say, I'm without sin. I mean, just, you know, have you ever gotten angry? Well, where do you think murder comes from? The anger that stews in the heart, it finally explodes, and that's what happens. Have you ever lusted after a woman? That's what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. It was trying to get at the heart of the matter. Have you ever coveted? Have you ever desired something that a neighbor had, and you plotted in your own mind to figure out a way that you could get what they have? That's part of the Ten Commandments as well. And so it's not just a matter of being clean on the outside. It's being clean on the inside as well. And when you look right there, the only thing you can say is there's no hope for me. If my salvation is dependent upon how good I am, I'm toast. And so I have to rely upon someone else, the person of Jesus Christ, to save me, to set me free, and to give me new life. So I would ask him to read 1 John and see what he thinks.
Yeah, well, I asked him to read the, he said he read the Bible, but he thinks it's all man-made, that man put all that together, that you know, God didn't inspire man, you know, to write the Bible and all that.
Does he think those thoughts, you know, those words that he is saying aren't man-made? You know, that's the deal. Somebody says, yeah, well, this Bible is just a bunch of made-up stories. Well, aren't you making up something in that your opinion? You know, so what type of water does that hold? It's just an opinion, isn't it? Do a little exploration. Do a little study. Be able to say that with conviction. Because I guarantee you, he hasn't examined the evidence. Once you examine the evidence, you know that this book, more than any other that the world has ever seen or known, is reliable. It can be counted upon. So,
yeah, I just don't like arguing with people and confronting with people like that. I just like to keep the peace, because they'll try to confront you and they'll try to argue and debate with you.
Yeah.
And I don't like to debate.
Well, Phil, I think you can just end it by saying, you know, obviously you don't think you need a Savior. You think everything's fine with you, and that's great. I needed a Savior, and that's why I trusted Jesus Christ, because he is my Savior. And hopefully, if you ever come to the point where you think you need a Savior, you'll turn to Christ as well. And just
there
leave it with that. Okay?
That's pretty simple. Okay, I appreciate that, Bob.
Okay, Phil.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Let's go to New Orleans and talk to Andre. Hi, Andre.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing? And hello to all your colleagues that's working with you.
Hey, Andre.
Bob, my question is, I'm a true believer, and I try to get into the Word daily, every day, and read scriptures and try to stretch my faith. I do that on my job. I'm a truck driver. When I have time, I do it at the evening time. But my question is, Bob, on this matter, I've been reading Ecclesiastes. And basically, I kind of got an understanding on what I read, because sometimes, truly, I don't understand everything I read. Some of it I can grasp from here, from other sources that, you know, the Word. When I get to certain verses, I try to, you know, try to get understanding and ask God to help me understand what I read. But Ecclesiastes, the first three verses, can you give me some strong points on? I think I have understanding, but I want to call someone out who I figured out. You probably know the true verses and what they mean. Can you give me understanding on what the first three verses mean, and I can see if my concept is on the right track, if you let me know.
Well, Andre, I think what Solomon is saying to us in the book of Ecclesiastes is that life apart from God is empty and meaningless. That if you don't have God in your life and the person of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to find it empty, you're going to find it meaningless, you're going to find that it really has no value going forth. And that's all he's saying here. You can work and you can gain all of this money, but then you're going to die and that money's going to go to the next generation and who knows what they're going to do with it. And so that's meaningless.
Okay.
He's trying to make the case that we need God in our lives. If we're going to have purpose, if we're going to have significance, if we're going to have meaning in life, it's going to come from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. And when we have a relationship with Christ, then all the other things that we engage in find their proper place and actually do have meaning. If we can see ourselves as a part of God's story in this world and that we play a role in that story, we'll find that life in general has meaning to us.
Now, Bob, what is from the scripture, he asked vanity and vexation of the spirit. What does that mean about that? What does that pertain to?
Well, again, that it's all meaningless. That's basically what he's saying there.
About the vanity and the vexation of the spirit.
Yes.
Okay. I've been reading it for a couple of days now. Because sometimes I go back and read it because I'm trying to see if I can understand it more and more once I read it. And I thought that's what it was pertaining to because I know a lot of times they talk about the gain and I think he was saying about these. He has a house, he has made service, and pertaining to like things in the world, but he was saying like it wasn't fulfilling his meaning, his purpose.
That's right.
Life. Well, I thought that's what he was trying to get to.
Yeah, Solomon had it all. I mean, there was nothing in this world that he didn't grab hold of and tested to see if it had value to him. And when he got to the end of the experiment, he found that he was still empty. And
I thought so, Bob. That's what I was trying to. I kept reading. I read it for like four or five times, going back from the first verse, going back over. And I'm saying, I think I kind of understand, but I wasn't too sure. And I said, well, I'm going to call the station and see if you can give me some outlook on it. And I thought that was my spirit was telling me. But now I got a better understanding. I really appreciate it, Bob.
Well,
y'all truly a blessing to the people out here in the world. You talk to
Well, thank you, Andre.
We're
sure glad you called today. Great question.
Oh, I try to. Like I said, I try to get into the word every day, but sometimes my understanding don't be too clear on things, so I kind of stop and ask somebody who really do know.
They
clear my thoughts and see what I'm, if I'm reading in the right perspective. Yeah. But I really truly appreciate it. Y'all blessing to everybody out there. True grace. I really appreciate
Well, you're welcome, my friend. We'll look forward to hearing from you again.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. And friends, want you to know that our newest product is called Gateway to Grace. It addresses the issue that we all sometimes experience, that of just kind of going through the motions. If you want to break free from fear and guilt, if you are longing for something more out of life, then let the powerful truth discussed in this series swing the door wide open to a life of freedom, a life of genuine love for God and for others, by the way. Gateway to Grace, our offer to you this month for any gift to Basic Gospel. Again, 1-800-677-9377. You can use that number to speak with our customer service representative, Billy. She'd be glad to hear from you. 1-800-727-2828 or go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for your copy of Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for any gift to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go out to Ron in Sacramento, California, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Ron.
Hi. My question relates to a book I was reading by John Hagee. In there he talks about a dual covenant where one applies to Christians in general or whatever, and then he makes what seems to be a preposterous statement that the Jews can be saved apart from Christ. And at his fundraising thing, Hagee enforces a policy of never mentioning Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, you know, like Netanyahu was called, he has said Christian Zionists are useful idiots and so on and so forth, and he's raising money like crazy for them. And every PM of so-called Israel is essentially an atheistic, Marxist, Satanist, you know. I'm just wondering why he's groveling to these people, and why he seems to be the bag man for the Antichrist forces of Satan's kingdom, which will, as we know from Revelation...
Well, Ron, I don't really know a whole lot about Hagee and his theology. Haven't really paid much attention there. Did you have a specific question?
I just was wondering what your observation is. I mean, claiming that Jews do not need Christ. I mean, you know, they can't mention Jesus Christ at their
well. That certainly doesn't
shakedowns.
Yeah, that certainly doesn't hold water as far as the Word of God is concerned. I think Paul was very clear that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. And that the power of salvation is contained in this gospel. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. So we're all saved the same way, by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And so the Jews don't have a special dispensation that they're in just because they're of the bloodline of Abraham. That doesn't cut it. You have to be born again to be a part of the kingdom. And to be born again is through faith in Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ for who he is, for what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. There's no other means of salvation. So I think somebody saying that there is, they're straying away from the clear teaching of the Word of God.
Okay, thank you very much.
Does that help, Ron? Hey, thanks for your call. Thanks for your discernment. And I appreciate the question. We as believers have to stand firm on this basic gospel message, don't we?
Absolutely.
I mean, when we start to, kind of backtrack a little bit and try to be accepted out there in the world, and we don't want to stir up trouble, we don't want to step on anybody's toes, that's when we start watering down the good news. And when we start watering down the good news, it's not good news at all.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us were dead, trapped in sin, under the control of sin. We need to be rescued. And there's only one person that can rescue us. His name is Jesus. He's our Savior. And he comes in and snatches us out of this world of darkness, out of this kingdom of darkness, and he places us into the kingdom of light, where we're loved and where we can experience a newness of life in him. Let's not water that down. Let's lay it out there for what it is. And that gospel message is to anyone and everyone. When God sent a promise to Abraham, it was for the whole world. Through your seed, the world would be blessed. God always had in mind both Jew and Gentile being saved in exactly the same way, and the two coming together as one new man in Christ.
Yeah.
That is basic gospel right there.
Right.
Let's not vary from that. Let's pound it. Let's deliver it with conviction, with passion, and let God do his work with it.
Yeah. Time and open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Call quickly. Want to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Denver and talk with Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
My question, put it down into a word, is anger. And I looked in the Bible. It took 40 years of life before I looked at that book. And then when I did, I read it, and I read it a couple, three, four times. But then I get to the thing called anger. And I see the anger of the Lord, and then what appeared to me, anger of God for Jesus when he came to earth. But now when you and I would show our anger, it's not in the same realm, and that bewilders me a whole bunch. Can you help me at all?
Well, God does have an anger towards sin. and the fact that sin has damaged us, and the fact that sin has caused a separation between God and man. So God is definitely angered over sin, and there was a wrath poured out on sin. Jesus took that for us so that we could experience new life in Christ. Now, most of the time, as far as we're concerned, when we're angry, it's because we're fearful on the inside. We're fearful of punishment. Maybe we're expecting God to punish us at any time. Maybe we're in a negative situation, a bad circumstance, and we believe that that's God punishing us. And we get mad over those sort of things. Or if we feel like we're not going to get our way and that we may never be happy in life, that life isn't going the way we want it to, we get fearful that it may never go the way that we want it to, and we lash out in anger. So oftentimes anger for us, for you and me, Kenny, especially guys, is a secondary response to fear. We'd rather show anger than we would fear. And so we hide the fear inside by lashing out. But there's a solution, and that solution has to deal with the fear issue. If we will allow the gospel message, the love of Christ, to handle that fear inside of us, we'll see anger starting to diminish.
Okay, now that would bring... Now, I'm a newborn child of God of over 20 years, and I let the Holy Spirit subside my anger, but then I look at that they expect me to do the right thing, and I feel that I'm justified, if you will. I don't want to call it that because that says that I'm better than you. I expect the same in return. And when it doesn't, yes, the Holy Spirit helps subside my anger, and you'll have to excuse my speech because I had a stroke 8 months ago, which is no big thing. But when I do it, I get condemned, and even though I'm trying to point the way, because I get a lot of admiration, I don't want to put blessing on me. It's all from the man upstairs, God. And I just hope my God is the same as your God, because my God has treated me very fine all my life. And I'm just struggling with that. If now am I supposed to rebuke them? You know, by God rebuked out of kindness anger, if you will. And I'm trying to do the same thing. And I'm just struggling very hard with that.
Yeah. Well, Kenny, that's again where the love of God comes in. You know, as Paul define love in 1 Corinthians 13. He starts out with this phrase, love is patient. And I think that's what we have to really realize is just how patient the Lord was with us. I mean, at any given moment, he could have snuffed us out. We certainly lived in rebellion toward God and did all sorts of things, but he was patient with us to bring us to a point so that we could receive new life in him. And as we understand that, then that equips us and emboldens us to be patient with others, just as God has been patient with us. And sometimes when that patience gets tested a little bit and we respond in anger, if that's not the norm for us, people get a little shocked with that and can be somewhat judgmental. That should be coming out of you. It can come out of me, but not you. But Kenny, good question. Let me do this. I've got a book I'd love to put in your hands. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send it your way.
Friends, thanks for joining us today. Your support is what, of course, keeps Basic Gospel on the air. To express our appreciation for your generous gift during Independence Month, we'll send you our newest CD series. It's called Gateway to Grace, 6 Messages with Study Guide, very rich in biblical content to help you shed the phony religious stuff and open the door so you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. For any gift this month to Basic Gospel, we'll send you this excellent resource. To order, just go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call with speak with Billy, our operator, at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace, yours this month, for any gift to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and all the staff at Basic Gospel, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another edition, live, of Basic Gospel.